Wednesday, so we took into consideration the comments that were generated at that time. It's up to, they're generally minor and they're insignificant. I do not believe that it exposes the borough to any further public hearings in this matter. However, they should be read word for word. There are four suggestions from Mr. Shepstone, and it's not if council wishes. If the motion is, for instance, the parking language at section 210.19c should be modified to read as follows, and it should be read into the record exactly the way
right. It
is suggested by Mr. Shepstone. So it should be word for word, or table it until you're positive that you know what you're doing, I guess. But this is, I think, again, it's relatively simple, relatively straightforward, minor enough so you don't have to go through another public hearing. It's based upon the comments that were generated at the meeting last week, so I think it's very consistent with what the ordinance would require and also what the municipality's planning code would require. I don't have any problem reading it into the record if that's Mr. Brennan's wish the proper way.
Mr. Brennan, would you allow Attorney Henry to reread your motion?
That's fine.
Okay. Attorney Henry, please go ahead.
All right, so the gist of the motion should be as follows. Number one, shopping.
Mr. Attorney Henry, call Jim, go ahead.
It's difficult to see up here, but go away.
Okay. Jim is saying he can't see it as well because of the light.
Yes, go ahead. That's all.
So go ahead.
Number one, shopping center / malls is listed twice as a condition of use in the C2 district. One should be deleted. Number two, the parking language is section 210.19c shall be modified to read as follows, : parking spaces may be located on a lot other than that containing the principal use with the approval of the borough council, provided a written agreement, approved by borough council shall be filed with the application for a zoning certificate, period. When proposed to be located on another lot to support a principal use, the parking spaces shall be considered an accessory use, period. Such parking spaces shall be located at a maximum of 300 feet, and then 300 numeric in parentheses, feet, driving distance from any commercial properties, and 200 in parentheses, 200 digitally feet from any residential properties they will serve, provided that borough council may modify this standard where there are no properties available for this purpose. The use is such that minimal such off-site parking is demanded or for other good cause. End of quote. Number three, the design guidelines language is section 210-6.1.A. five in parentheses and B, six in parentheses, shall be modified as follows. Quote, the borough may, at its sole discretion, also apply design guidelines promulgated under downtown improvement programs as may be appropriate given the circumstances of an existing building or block, end quote. Number four, the definition of food processing, brewing and distilling in section 210-4.1 is hereby modified as follows, quote, a commercial establishment where food is processed for human consumption on or off the premises, including brewing, wine making and distilling, together with ancillary activities such as tasting rooms and associated retail sales, but not including restaurants that incorporate limited food processing, brewing, wine making or distilling on site where the primary use remains a restaurant, and any processing is primarily for on-site consumption and not distribution to other restaurants or retail locations.
Okay, Mr. Brennan, is that okay as your motion?
That's fine.
Okay, and the person who seconded was Robert Chang. Are you okay with that change? You okay? Thank you. So that's the motion made and seconded. Any discussion or questions from any council member?
Is this a motion to adopt the ordinance? Because that's not the way it's worded. Or are we just voting to change the language of the proposed ordinance?
I'm sorry. It should specifically indicate that Mr. Brennan is moving to adopt the draft Holmesdale Borough zoning amendment with the following minor revisions, as exposed to the public hearing on October 13, 2021.
Okay, further clarification again. Mr. Brennan, are you okay with that clarification of the motion? Mr. Brennan, are you okay? He is clarifying the full. Are you okay with that? It is your motion. Mr. Jennings, Bob Jennings, are you okay with the change since your second?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, it is.
What was the question he asked?
Attorney Henry, the question that I would have in the last one, number four. So the addition that we're making, and any processing is primarily for on-site consumption and not distribution to other restaurants or retail locations. It gets a little tricky for me in terms of people who are producing something like beer. I mean, they could easily keg it, right, and have it available at the hotel, or they could have it available, you know, elsewhere. I guess I'm just trying to understand, like, why we're so focused on these things having to stay on site rather than allowing a business like that to grow in a central location. So, like, in the example, brewery like Urban Cliff couldn't have their beer for sale by a keg elsewhere, correct? Because that's technically distribution to other locations, or am I just interpreting that incorrectly? Or here now, or wherever.
All this is doing is redefining that definition. And I think it addresses the comments that were apprehended by Mr. Williams last week, based upon his concerns.
The way I'm reading it, though, just so I understand it, before we vote on it, if a brewery, a winemaker, or a distillery, their primary use remains a restaurant, and they're primarily for on-site consumption and not distribution to other restaurants, does that not allow them to distribute to other restaurants in this instance? I'm looking for clarification, and apologies if I'm just not reading this correctly.
This is a compliment. I think the issue that may be of concern here is that when an operation develops a distribution process that is going to sell product wholesale to other providers or other businesses, that can generate a tremendous amount of volume, and that's why we have different zoning areas where you actually get into an industrial area where you're distributing products, and that's why distribution centers are created in different areas than your local retail operations. And that's, I think, where the challenge is coming in, to try to establish an occasional sale of a product for resale to another entity is probably something that's not a big issue. However, when you actually get into distribution business and you're going to have, for instance, rail cars, that's why we have the business down there is industrial, you know, and you could load and unload boxcars. That's still product movement, but it's not retail, and I think that's where the challenge comes in, is trying to define what areas certain activities are conducted.
So a downtown business, like here at Now Brewing Company, has their own footprint. They're not exceeding that footprint, or need to. We we don't necessarily want them to leave downtown because it's a vibrant part of our downtown district. But they may have a distribution deal set up with Wall Pack Brewing Company or a hotel, the Hotel Anthracite, or wherever they are. Is that operating outside of the current ordinance, or is it something that we define by volume? Or I guess that's my only question, is that I personally would like to see those businesses stay and grow downtown in whichever way that's appropriate. I do understand the issues when it comes to wholesale volume, and I also don't want to get into the weeds here on this, but you know, it's just a question that I have in regards to the wording of this one. So I do appreciate the comments that were made at the hearing. I just was looking for clarification based on some real life examples in the downtown business district.
I think here and now is protected by the terms of the ordinance as it stands. This provides perhaps more protection for similar activities in Holmesville Borough. Again, generated from the comments that came from the meeting last week.
Derek has to speak, so Derek, if you want to come up and give your opinion.
Right, could I withdraw that number four from the ordinance until we get verification on it? Because I certainly would want to penalize someone who's making unlimited amount of alcohol and selling it to another distributor.
What I would suggest is if you want to withdraw it, I'm gonna let Derek speak first and then I'll make a suggestion.
And this is kind of just a general comment, but also Rich could chime in. I would suggest removing that note at the end about distribution. I think the way that things have been changed is helpful to preserve the existing businesses downtown and to accommodate more of those same kinds of businesses. And it carves out an exception for places that are like operating a restaurant, which is kind of a public facing in and out mixed use situation. If we're talking about a giant brewery or something that only does that in kind of a factory setting, of course that would be better placed elsewhere, and that would be accommodated by the ordinance in the industrial district. But for downtowns, that distribution bit, I don't think that necessarily helps for two reasons. One, if you were to try and enforce that, you would have to avail yourselves of the books of a local business to determine some arbitrary threshold of what becomes distribution outside of the area and beyond their needs on site. And that doesn't seem like a useful use of a kind of government resources. And on top of that, I think we're probably just better off leaving those types of businesses alone to grow and encourage the continued growth. You know, if we're talking about an on-site product that's locally produced and distributed out, that shows that a business is valued outside the area, and that's a really good thing. And we're kind of saying that the distribution itself is the issue and not the production necessarily, and that seems a little bit backwards, because if you had thousands of people who ordered from outside the area from a certain business, that same level of production to produce those same amount of units, those people would just come to town and buy it all directly from the restaurant. So what's the difference, honestly?
I think you hit on a solution. I think if you could listen to me for a second, I think you hit on it. What I would probably suggest to you is that if you read the last part that is highlighted, it starts with "and any processing" is primarily, just strike that entirely and leave it with what's just before that. And it says that just before it says distilling on site where the primary use remains a restaurant. Stop there.
Period.
And I think that takes care of everything we're saying. It's primarily a restaurant or what have you, then it's okay.
Yep. I would like to amend my motion to eliminate the last sentence. And any processing is primarily for on-site consumption, not distribution of other restaurants or retail locations, should be deleted from my motion.
Okay, so again, a motion was made by Jim, or clarification was motion made by Jim Brennan. Rob Jenks seconded. Are you willing to agree to that motion?
Yes.
Okay, so we have a motion to agree to second to.
Second.
Okay, any other question or discussion on the motion?
I appreciate the
deal. Well, you have to, yes. And I think Derek actually hit that perfectly, at least in my opinion. Any other further question again?
Yes.
If not, again, we'll do a voice vote, and if there is any dissension, we'll go back to a roll call to clarify. All those in favor of the motion as presented with the last modification, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, please say no.
No.
Okay, so we basically...
Okay, the motion carried, but can you tell me, since I was in motion, where are you stopped?
He's stopping after it says use remains a restaurant, right before the last roll print.
Okay.
Okay, so we had basically five yes and one vote no.
Who was no?
And Chris Jarrett voted no. To be honest with you, just personal opinion, I think that as time goes on, this will probably have to be revisited. Well, I said in the future, if these businesses are successful, maybe a situation at some point where they simply outgrow their facilities, it may be a hardship for others around them. Cross that bridge when you come to it, I think. Okay, so everybody's okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. All right. Okay, so anything else from signing this evening?
Excuse me.
Jim, read anything more to add tonight for under zoning? Anything else? Okay, thank you. We're going on to correspondence. Judy, you have the actual, you have one item.
Yes. Okay, under correspondence, the one actionable item is a resignation letter was received from William Corcoran. All the correspondence, or just you want to
start? Well, let's take action. The first one is the resignation letter of Mr. Corcoran, so we can make a motion to accept his resignation.
No.
I couldn't hear who made it. Jim Brennan made the motion, and Robert Jennings seconded it.
Okay.
So we're standing. Okay. We have a motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Obviously not. All those in favor of accepting his resignation with regret, please say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, please say no. Motion has passed unanimously. Okay, Judy, go ahead with the non-actionable.
Okay, the non-actionable number one is the Department of Revenue sent you a PURTA notification of its distribution of payment. And number two is Derek Williams, sent you a notice, actually, I'm gonna call it petition, for the ambulance building at Industrial Point. You have it in your packet. Number three is Wayne County. They sent us the 211 newsletter for the month of August. Number four is Duane Tomorrow newsletter was received. All of these are on file at the borough office. Number five, the Wayne County Tax Claim Bureau sent us a notice about how you need to sell your properties. Number six is the Wayne County EMA quarterly training meeting. The date has changed. It is now November 10th. It is not the normal date. So this is now the date of the Park and Rec meeting. Number seven is a Pennsylvania DEP notice of violation for foul oil company. There was a spill prevention equipment.
Okay, thank you. Any councilmembers have any question?
Again, we talk about this every meeting, but you know, especially important that people are here. Housing, big issue in the county. 211 correspondence shows that 5 of the top 10 issues are housing related. We still have funds available for our rental and mortgage assistance program. That's done through CDBG and the COVID relief program. So if you or someone you know lives within the borough and they need a rental, rent and or mortgages, so rent or mortgage assistance, please let us know. It's available on the website, but also they can call the borough office during office hours and get more information. Another important point that you may see from the Wayne Tomorrow newsletter was that NeighborWorks NEPA announces Aging in Place program expansion of Wayne County. That's $1 million grant that Wayne County is a part of that will help fund safety upgrades and home improvement projects in 225 homes to meet the needs of low-income elderly homeowners in the two counties, and it's Lackawanna and Wayne. So that's a big deal. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance, we also have the, I'm blanking out of the fund that Jared helps with. It's the Reverend Doherty Fund. Yeah, Reverend Doherty Fund, apologies for that. That helps with your heating and utilities If you or somebody you know, again, in the borough needs help and assistance with that, please give us a call. We're here to help, and we have money to help, which is great. So thank you for the time.
Thank you. And that's in our correspondence under unfinished business. We talked last week about a couple of bills that were in the state legislature, and one of them was concerning the radar for local use. Pennsylvania is the only state in the country that does not allow local police departments to use radar for speed enforcement. So it's in your packet, and apparently from my reading it, it's sitting in the Transportation Committee since June 23rd, or in the House, excuse me. In the House since June 23rd. I guess it went through the Senate, it's still in the House as of June 23rd. It's still only in committee, just for information. Under new business, the council meeting schedule. Judy, if you want to just publicly, can quickly explain to the public, those people who are here, why, wherever we're at.
Over the last several meetings, discussion was about the in-person meetings. Honesdale High School, Wayne Highland School District has notified the borough that two of the dates that were approved for council meetings are no longer available due to rescheduled school functions. So the borough council needs to decide what they want to do with those two meetings.
Judy, we had requests in the past about using other locations of the school, but have you reached out to anybody or tried?
I was only asked to contact Wayne Highland School District. No.
Okay, there's no specifics. Well, nothing.
If you're instructing me to try to find another location, I can, but I was not instructed to.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Why can't we just go back to the 7th floor City Hall?
Because still under the COVID regulations, with all requirements, people, even though people are still breaking the rules now, sitting here as it is, but if we actually allow that and force them into that tight space, that would open us to liability. If they're supposed to sit 6 feet apart.
No, it's no longer 6 feet apart.
That's 3 feet.
I'm sorry. At this, at Borough Hall, we are conducting in-person meetings. Currently, there are 25 seats available for guests, the audience. They are 1 foot apart. But it would be the organizers of the meeting who are sitting side by side. But we can accommodate 25 1 foot apart upstairs.
It's up to council. Do you want to try?
It's entirely up to council.
The three of us are closer here than we are down at City Hall.
But it's not for us as much as for the public. That's the point.
Some of them get down here and they have
And if we open that side room,
we can go back to Judy. As it stands right now, there's nothing to stop us from having in-person meetings at the hall.
At Borough Hall, you can seat 25 people on the second floor.
Does that include the councilmen?
Yes. Counselors are going to be as close as they were prior. You're right next to each other.
She's saying that 25 spectators can be at the meeting.
25 spectators can be at the meeting.
Right.
So we don't have 25 here, so we have enough room.
We have 14 here right now.
Yeah, so we have enough room to have it down at City Hall.
I believe there's enough room.
It's entirely up to Borough Council to decide where they want to meet. These meetings had not been advertised because discussions were still going on.
When we had the meetings down at City Hall, or up here, we haven't had more than 14 or 15 at a meeting, and down there it can accommodate 25. So.
Again, the point being, just for clarification, I'm not disagreeing with what you're supposing now, but in the past with EIT, despite what we're saying, we did advertise it, we did have it on the radio, it wasn't the newspaper, it wasn't our website, we expected to have a large crowd. More than 25 people. So we thought it was in fairness to the public, because if we had the meeting, just think about this. If there was a large crowd that actually showed up and we had it in Borough Hall, the first thing we'd be accused of not letting the people in and not letting them speak their mind. And you know how that would go. So it's really fairness to the public. We can't predict how many people are going to show up. We just can't. Tonight, I didn't know if we're going to have what we have here, a lot more, a lot less. I had no idea. And that's the danger. Now, the good news is, honestly, our budget shows no increase this year. There's not going to be an EIT tax as it stands right now. So the truth is probably, our next meeting is probably very poorly attended by the public. So therefore, you're right. But if an issue comes up that causes a large stir, then you'd have 50, we've had the past, we've had 50, 60 people show up.
Ms. Company McAllister, I make a motion that we adopt our meetings at the Borough Hall as we have in the past, and they'll be in present, and we'll just do it that way.
If we have...
As long as, I get a second on that motion.
Okay, we have, like, we have all further meetings from now until December 31st at Borough Hall, correct?
That's correct.
In-person meetings. Okay. Motion's made and seconded. Any discussion or further question?
Yeah, I understand what we're trying to do. I don't really have an issue with it, but should we have a backup plan for when 26 people show up? Like, do we really want to leave someone standing at the door?
Well, can we put a microphone down here? So they can hear?
There's no wiring for downstairs. What happened, if you recall, I'm not sure what year that was, the year that there was another big controversy.
In the event we have more than 20.
It actually, what happened is we had to pass out tickets to people. I remember the people were waiting outside, we had people inside, it was raining out. They went downstairs, then when some people were done upstairs, we had to bring in personnel so they could send the other people inside, downstairs, upstairs, so they could hear. And then people brought over coffee for people to drink.
In the event we may have to terminate the meeting and reschedule at another location as a result of the large crowd that showed up. So in the meantime, we have our meetings at the Borough Hall.
We have to allow, if people want to make comments, we have to allow that.
And the option would be to terminate the actual meeting and reschedule it because we had too many show up.
Yeah, I know this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I'm going to voice it anyway. I feel like we should be continuing a virtual meeting. It adheres to everybody, you know, being able to attend. It adheres to anybody's worries about the pandemic, and it allows for easy recording. It allows for easy comments. Like, we're worrying about logistics for in-person meetings. This has been great. Again, I appreciate seeing everybody here, but I think from a logical standpoint, that would be a virtual session is the way to go, especially as we go into the winter time. Again, that's my opinion. This is discussion. It's going to go for a vote, but that's just, again, one council.
I know the motion is as it stands right now, but I suggest maybe you just set either an in-person or virtual meeting for November 1st and use the time from now to then to find a more affordable, larger option that could accommodate everyone. I'm just worried about limiting it to 25 people. There's 13 or 14 out there today, 10 more, which is not improbable. Put us over and put everyone 1 foot apart. That's all I have to say.
Is there any more comment? This is not a public comment for this. This is for a motion here at the floor. We have one motion on the floor.
If we had more than 25 people show up, can we postpone the meeting for a half an hour, allowing them time to get home, and we can call in the same as we have with meetings before? We go back to a virtual meeting.
I don't know how that worked logistically, time-wise, getting set up just for the office.
Well, if we that, postpone the meeting for half an hour, giving them time to go home, and for us to set it up and do a virtual meeting.
I don't know if that's possible or not, but obviously, it's right now we have a motion on the floor. It's first and seconded.
Well, that's part of that motion. It's a question of the motion.
So you're going to change the motion. Ms. McAllister, you made the motion.
No, I don't believe the motion has changed yet.
Okay, so right now the motion on the floor is to have all further meetings from now until December 31st in person at Borough Hall. That is correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so at this point, we're going to ask for, in this case, I know there's dissension, so we're going to ask for a voice or a roll call vote.
Robert Jennings.
Yes.
Jason Newbaum.
Yes.
James Brown.